I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm not sure where he is, but we're going to find out now. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When you talk about friends of the show, Andy, I mean, this guy is like Brian Anderson. He's like part of the show to me. He's our buddy Travis Hafner, former Indian. Hello, Travis.
Hey, Bronco.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing
I don't know.
Well.
Has he really reached Brian Anderson status, Jeff? I mean,
hey, when I was doing Browns pregame before the Browns radio network stuff, when we picked that up, Travis and Frank Herman did a fantasy football segment with me every Sunday. So they've been a part of the show almost as long as you and I have, dude.
All right, you win, Pronk. You win. We need your Pronkspective.
All right, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I did not know this until yesterday when we had Paul Byrne on. Are you like a pretty accomplished drummer, or are you – I mean, I was shocked. He said you have rush-like reflexes when it comes to playing the drums. True or false? I never knew this.
Well, I would say true, but at the moment, probably false. I used to play a lot in high school and was in, like, the high school pep bands, like, halftime of basketball games. I was playing, like, the trap set and all that stuff, and I enjoyed playing it. Would always play it down in my basement and stuff, like, the different songs that I like. So, yeah, I used to love drumming, but I haven't done it for quite a while.
So were you on the basketball team and was a drummer at the same time because your school was so small?
That would be cool. This would have been like during the women's basketball games.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it would have been pretty cool to like go play basketball and then at halftime be the drummer and then come back out and finish the second half.
That happens in high school football.
Absolutely. I see that in high school football.
Yeah, oh, it does. Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
I didn't know that. But
are you? You're not in Northeast Ohio now, I'm guessing. Are you in Florida?
Yep. We're in Tampa.
How you hanging in? Everything all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. The kids are actually out in the pool right now. But, yeah, we've been trying to, like, stay as busy as we can. So we've been doing a lot of baseball stuff in the front yard and in the backyard. And kids have been in the pool. And then, you know, you got schoolwork and all that stuff. So just trying to keep them busy.
Good idea. We were chatting earlier about Scott Boras and his plan that he's laid out. And it's got a bunch of little tentacles to it, Travis. But basically, he had a plan where if you started June 1st, you could still play 162, and if you started July 1st, you could play 144 games. And then the plan means in December, you're playing the entire postseason at neutral sites. And obviously, in this, with what's going on right now, you got to be open to anything. What would your reaction be to that? But then part of his – I'll ask – give us an answer to that one first, then we'll get the other part of this. Neutral sites for the playoffs in December.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind a neutral site for the playoffs if you're playing that late into the year, just so you can guarantee that you're not playing in snow or anything like that. So playing in warm weather places, you know, kind of like the Super Bowl, I think that would be fine. I don't really love the part about trying to cram in 162 games and doing like a ton of doubleheaders. I don't know the players. I mean, I think you've seen, you know, trips to the DL go up quite a bit here lately. And I think trying to cram in, you know, 9-10 games a week would not be easy on the players. And I think you'd see even more injuries.
I don't know. I'm looking at this Boras. Have you had a chance to see the Boras plan?
I haven't seen it, no.
You haven't? Okay, so he's talking about wild card games would be played in December. Division series would be also December. And then the World Series would be around Christmas time. And there'd be no days off during the postseason. And the postseason would be played in Los Angeles, Anaheim, San Diego, Miami, Seattle, Arizona, Milwaukee, Toronto, Houston, and down by you, St. Petersburg, and Arlington, Texas. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to do that and not play in front of fans, then just play the games in Los Angeles, Anaheim, and San Diego and let the guys bust between the venues. Taking it away from the fans, I think, is kind of ridiculous if the fans can go to the games at this point. And I don't know. I just think Scott's kind of talking to talk on some of this stuff and the importance of playing for the name that's on the front of your jersey, Pronk. I mean that has to have some value, even in a year like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think baseball's necessarily like football where, you know, the caveat of going to the Super Bowl, like almost everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl. You know, if two teams are playing that I don't really like in my hometown, like I'm probably not going to go watch that game necessarily.
Yep.
Where going to a Super Bowl, like you don't really care who's playing. You're at the Super Bowl. I'm not sure unless it's the World Series that I would necessarily want to go watch teams that I'm not a fan of.
Travis Hafner's joining us, former Indians first baseman. And with all sincerity, I want to ask you this little line of questioning here. We've never really talked about this too much. Before we went to break, I threw this little factoid out. In the 2010 census, your hometown of Sikeston, North Dakota, had a population of 117. How does, in this day and age, where, I mean, youth sports, crazy, travel baseball, crazy, training, crazy, I mean, it's nuts. How does a guy from a town in North Dakota, of all places, with a population of 117, A, develop the skills, and B, get on the map to become a professional baseball player and then become a successful Major League Baseball player? Travis, when did that notion actually strike you that you thought you might be able to do something with this?
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy journey that I had and very thankful for it. But I grew up kind of watching the Atlanta Braves and the Twins and the Baltimore Orioles and the Indians. And from a very early age, like 3-4 years old, I just loved baseball. And like I played it as much as possible in North Dakota. But I was just kind of obsessed with the sport. So, you know, I loved to go outside and hit rocks or hit off the tee or just kind of do basically kind of whatever I could. But obviously very limited, maybe 20, 30 games in the summer is it. But I went to an Atlanta Braves tryout camp after my senior year, and then they sent me down to a junior college, played down in Kansas, and then was able to get drafted from there. But it's crazy to think about that route when, you know, now my 10-year-old, we have a travel baseball team, and, you know, you can play 80, 90, 100 games in a year. You know, you can play as much as you want down in Florida. So, and, you know, they can have pitching lessons with, you know, former professional players. And it's just crazy, like, the resources that are available out there if you want them.
Did you play Legion Ball then?
What did you do in the winter?
Yeah. I played Legion Ball, and, you know, you get 20, 30 games in the summer as long as it's not snowing.
What kind of training, Travis, did you do in the wintertime? You know, because now, especially even up here, you know, as opposed to being in the South, up here you think, all right, you make yourself into a player in the wintertime. You know, you do all that work. Did you do stuff like that in the winter, or did you just have to hunker down because you're in North Dakota?
Yeah, I mean, our training was just playing other sports. So we just played basketball. You know, you'd get, like, running and jumping and your lower half explosion, and kind of a lot of that stuff carries into baseball. You know, the quicker you are, the better infielder you can be. The more lower half explosiveness you have, the more power you can have, the harder you can throw, kind of different things like that. So cross-training with other sports was kind of the main thing that we had available to us.
Hey, Pronk, you said your son's playing baseball right now, right? What are you coaching at all, or are you just a parent?
Yeah, I coach I coach all their teams, so except Knox. Knox is kind of doing like a coach pitch league, and I help out with that. But yeah, right now I'm doing, well, they're suspended, but three games, three teams, I guess I'm coaching right now.
I'm curious your reaction to the parents while you're coaching in this scenario. Like, I mean, do you ever hear parents just say things that you're just like, I can't believe I just heard a parent say that? Or because I think that, you know, the generationally things have changed because of the pressure that we put on kids and the way kids are playing sports right now. I'm just curious, from your perspective as a guy who's made it to the big leagues, when you hear parents yapping off on the sides, what goes through your mind?
Well, I guess I can say what I'm allowed to say on the radio, but so usually on all the teams I've had really good parents, and I'll send out an email at the beginning of the year that's like, no coaching from the stands, you know, let the coaches coach. If you want to work with them away from the field, that's great, but don't coach from the stands, because I don't want kids being confused. Like, we're telling them something and, you know, the parent is telling them something different. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, if you want to coach from the stands, you might as well just coach a team.
Good point. How about on umpires? Parents getting on umpires too, or no?
That's another one. Like, nobody's allowed to say anything to the umpires. I'm just a big believer in that. I want, like, the kids to be accountable. There's nothing that drives me nuts more than, you know, after a game, kids saying, oh, the umpire, you know, screwed us over, you know, whatever. And they take no accountability for the other, you know, 50, 60 plays that happened in the game, or, you know, things like that. So they're not allowed to complain to umpires. Parents the same way. I don't even want the umpires to be a discussion at the end of the game.
Former Indians DH Travis Hafner is joining us. I mentioned yesterday when we said you were going to be joining us, Travis, that my kid had a game up in your area in Northeast Ohio when you were living up there. And you said, hey, tell me when. And you came out and you hung out and you watched my kid play. And you might not remember saying this, but I'll always remember you saying this to me, because your kids were pretty young at the time. And you said, I can't wait until I can coach my kids playing. We're going to be so bad and we're going to have so much fun. Is that? But you just said, oh, we're going to be awful, but we're going to have a lot of fun. Is that still kind of your thought process on things? But now that you're into it, has that changed a little?
So I would say now it's like, we want to be really good, but we want to have a lot of fun too.
So you are a parent.
Right.
You are a parent.
Yeah, see,
now.
There
okay,
it is.
Yes.
Well, it's not necessarily about wins and losses. Like, I think there's a lot of value that comes in, like, you know, losing a game and then talking about it and what can we learn from that. You know, it's no fun to go out and go like 0-20. But at the same time, it's not all about winning either. So we do a lot of things in practice, like home run derbies and base running contests and like a lot of different knockout competitions where there's competition and there's a lot of fun, and it like makes the kids want to come back out. I'm not just sitting there doing, okay, let's do 2 hours of situational defense and the kids hate baseball. So I try to keep it as fun as possible.
Nice. That's awesome.
All right, Travis.
Hey, Andy,
go ahead.
Andy mentioned Paul Byrd was with us yesterday. Andy, you want to go here?
Yeah. Let me set you up here just a little bit, because I've listened to the two of you guys go back and forth on, you know, just how serious you are about fantasy football and how it kind of drives your lives at some point, to the point where I actually get nauseous and ill thinking about the way you guys think about fantasy football. So yesterday I was very surprised when we talked to Paul Byrd, who said you still continue to play fantasy football with a number of the guys that were on the team when you were playing with the Indians, and guys that we would all know here in Northeast Ohio as household names that played for the Indians. I was shocked to find out, and you'll listen to Paul here, to find out that you were impeached as the commissioner of your fantasy football league. Yes, Travis,
hang on.
Listen to your former comrade, Paul Byrd, talk about this.
Well, we had to pull him out of the leadership role as the GM because, you know, there was a lot of suspicious cheating going on. He kind of rigged the league at times. So, yeah, isn't it funny how he does that? Most people think, you know, pitchers would do that. But, yeah, he made the rules that benefited him. So we had to ask him to step down. But not – we really did do that. But, you know, we all tease him about it and stuff like that. And we just say, as long as Hafner doesn't win the league, it's a success.
Okay, Commissioner Hafner, your retort to your impeachment.
I find it a little bit hard to believe, you know, Paul Byrd being a man of faith and great character, that he would just come out on radio and just openly lie like that. So I really have nothing. I ran 1 year. I called the League of Integrity just because it was so well run. I had won it so many times that people would just say that I was twisting the rules to benefit me, which I'm not sure how you make fantasy football rules that benefit you over the other 11 guys, but you know, it gets lonely at the top sometimes in fantasy.
Wow. What a compliment though. What a compliment that the entire goal of the league was to make sure you didn't win.
That is true, but you know, honestly, like, I don't really like being commissioner, so it kind of got to be a rule that I made where if you win the league, you're commissioner. So I think Josh Barfield has done it here recently. So
who is in the League of Integrity?
Let me think off the top of my head. We got Bird, Ben Francisco, Josh Barfield, Garko. Jeez. Off the top of my head, I think Ryan Ludwig is in it.
Was Casey Blake in there? I thought he said Casey played too.
That's awesome.
Casey Blake isn't in it.
Isn't? Okay.
Boy.
A number of guys.
No wonder you're not the commissioner anymore. You don't even know who's in the league.
I know. When it's during the season, I got it off the top of my head, but not now. It's been a while.
That's funny. You mentioned Ryan Ludwig. When we were doing Tribe Time together, and Indy and me, and you were doing your Pronkspectives, which were the highlight of our Tribe Time tenure, Ryan Ludwig came up to me after we started them one time, and he said, "Hey, what's this Pronkspective thing? How about the Luddy Spective?" I said, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that, man. Hey, Travis, we can't thank you enough for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Always good talking to you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day and be safe.
Hey, Travis, let me throw you one thing. I know we're hang on 1 second. Is your wife selling organic products right now?
Yes, she is.
She is. Well, you were nice enough to come on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we let you go?
Yeah, plug.
So it's called Neil's Yard Remedies, and her website is organicamy.com. And you can go on there, and it's a lot of great products, a lot of like skincare stuff. You don't really have to worry about toxins or harmful chemicals in your skincare. I use, how did this turn into me promoting what I use for my,
You did it. I did. I was just trying to help out Amy. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. But I use like the men's body wash for the shower and the shampoo and the shaving gel. Yeah, boy, this went sideways in a hurry, but
well, that's okay. I was trying to help out Amy. That's all.
Yeah, they're really great products, so I appreciate you mentioning that.
No problem. Yeah, I can get you back. OrganicAmy.com.
Hi.
Thanks, Travis.
I'm Travis.
All right, thanks,
I'm
Travis
Hafner.
Have a good day.
Organic Amy body wash. Hey, Travis. Thanks, buddy. We'll be in touch.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Travis Hafner joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.